Yeah, Okay, thanks, proceed. Okay, so we're back on the Oppenheimer Trust Company and Elliot and Candace Bernstein matter in order to finish the objection hearing that we started previously. Just get my notes out if you don't mind. Okay, so counsel, where were we on the objections?
Good afternoon, I'm Stephen Leslie with Gunster Yoakley. I'm now petitioned off from Trust Company of Delaware. My notes reflect we had gone through objections 1 through 7, and we overruled each one of those. So we are beginning today on objection number 8 out of 90.
Do you agree, Mr. Bernstein, on that's where we ended?
No, I've got you overruled up to 5. When we were on 6, and that's where we stopped.
I'm happy to start number 6, Your Honor.
All right. Let me just
further way of housekeeping, my recollection, my notes reflect that there's 8 exhibits introduced in evidence. Hopefully you have the same.
Yeah, I'm trying to, we're reorganizing all the files to try to have everything meet the case numbers. And
okay, if you'd like, Your Honor, I have an extra copy of the exhibits 2 through 8.
Show them to Mr. Bernstein. Okay, you don't mind.
Sure.
And Your Honor, yes. I had had a transcript, whatever you call them, recorder here on the last one that we haven't paid for yet, actually, which is part of the problem. And then I was planning on having one for the 19th, and the person who was going to pay for all of it is actually not well. I talked to her Saturday. She hasn't even gotten the bill yet from them. So I called them. They won't do it unless I can pay them. I couldn't. So we called 2 other places. They don't do pro se. And I'd just like to establish a record for this since it's a very important hearing. Is there any way you can accommodate since you changed the hearing by a month? Or?
Not really. We can't hire a court reporter. We don't have that ability, obviously, to do that. We probably have less funding than you.
I doubt that, but that's okay.
Don't doubt that. We are stretched to the, we don't have clerks. We have 1 law clerk for the entire South County. I mean, I could go on, but.
Can we do an iPhone recording or something? Or,
I don't.
And you can control it for anything off the record? Or?
I mean, you have an iPhone you want to use?
Yeah, you can use my wife.
Object to an iPhone being used? It would not be an official record, but if they want to keep an unofficial record, I'm not sure. You know, if there is an appeal and there is no transcript of this proceeding, the appellate rule says that they prepare, Mr. Bernstein wants to do that, a purported record of the lower court proceedings under the appellate rule, and then you can object or not, and then if you object, then I have a hearing to reconstruct the record, a very difficult task. But if they had a non-certified recording, that could assist them in trying to establish what the record is.
I would object to any recording that's maintained by the Bernsteins. If Your Honor would like a recording, I have an actual dictaphone, and I could actually put it on conference mode and have an actual recording. What to do with it from that point after. I just don't...
Both of us. We both object to each other. I can record. Then we have better accuracy of the statements if you have to get to that, whatever call it hearing.
Okay, I really... Here's the thing. Unless you have an agreement, and I'm doing this a little bit of seat of my pants because I'm not... I don't have a mindset of the exact rule of how to govern this. If I did, I would share it with you.
And this was just kind of sudden when you wanted to have this, so...
Right, so, well, it's...
I didn't research that.
I think you probably need, for purposes of electronic recordings, I think you probably need to have an agreement on that. So I don't, you know, I'm trying to avoid areas of dispute. We have enough of them. I don't want this to be another area of dispute.
So if we both agree? The taping?
It's up to you to agree or not.
You agree?
If you don't agree, I'm not going to do it. If you agree, I'll do it probably, but I can't. So it's up to you folks.
Yeah, without the consent of my client, Your Honor, I'm not going to agree with the client.
Okay, so then the answer is I can't do it without agreement.
Well, then can we postpone the hearing until we can get a transcription?
No, I'm not allowed to do that in a civil proceeding. I mean, here's the thing. I reset this because this matter that I had for this afternoon settled. And, you know, most of the time, for example, in civil, litigants are on 2-hour call. I don't do that because it's impossible. If there's an opening at 1, literally some of the judges have you come in at 3. I mean, we don't do that. So I think I gave from Tuesday to today. But other than that, I'm not going to postpone the hearing because I think there's a need to get through largely at your request, Mr. Bernstein, which I think is proper. At some point, we have to get past the pleading stage of the cases and get into the adjudicatory. Because otherwise, you know, pleadings are wonderful, but they don't get anyone anywhere. And so I want to, on this and all other matters, try to get us focused in on the adjudicatory. So no reporting.
Okay, then I have another issue.
Hold on, can I see what you have about the objections? So maybe it's just because I'm not seeing the right form.
What do you mean what I have?
Well, you have let me see the form. Do you have another copy of Mr. Bernstein's objections?
I have several copies.
Okay.
And there are also giving you an extra copies of Exhibits 2 through 8 that are in evidence.
All right.
Exhibit 1 is a very good finder, which hopefully you have. It's face stand up.
That I have.
Okay. Yes. And that's 2 through 8.
Let's see these documents here. All right. So we're going to start on number 6.
For Your Honor, can I put my other issue off the front?
Sure.
Okay. I want to try to reserve my rights here. Because by your decision to move it up and accommodate us and try to do that, if you recall, we pushed it out so far because I have a federal summary judgment response in the Illinois litigation, 800 pages I have to respond to by May 20-something. And I have now, because of the federal judge the other day allowing the deposition of my brother and Don Sanders, I have to prepare for those. Plus, I have the 2 hearings this week with you, or 3, whatever it is, on Thursday. And so here was the problem. At the last hearing, as you recall, the accounting, I reserved my rights because the day before the hearing, we got 1,800 pages of new data from Mr. Lesney dumped on us. Now, he just dumped more data on us a few days ago, and I haven't even looked at the 1,800 pages because I was planning on doing that after the summary judgment. And I had all that planned.
Tell me about the summary judgment again.
Okay, there's a summary judgment in the Illinois insurance case that's due. I just asked that Judge Blakey to extend because of what's happened here today. He hasn't answered yet. So I put in a request for extension because this now changed our whole situation. I tried to look at 2,000 something pages over the weekend, but I already had all
the
plans.
Documents that I have to consider only the documents that I received at the last hearing.
We got them one day. You got them at that hearing, I believe, and I got them that day too.
Okay. So
the day before.
I thought you said you just got something.
He just added new 300 and something pages the other day. Didn't you get those?
No, I don't know anything about that.
If I may address that.
I mean, I would know if I had 300 pages, I would know. I don't.
Do you have the other 1,800 pages?
I have the documents of the new evidence, and I have this book. Which I had the last year.
Okay, and here's the point.
If you say there's something new, I don't have it.
We'll let him address that.
I don't know, but here's the thing. If in dealing with your objections, I'm not sure what the documents are. I don't know what the documents are that he's giving you. And if I'm getting something in response to your objection, that I didn't have before that's brand new from them. I don't know that I'm getting that yet because they haven't spoken as we go down the list. Then if you object, I'll go ahead.
Okay, and the other 1,800 documents that were dumped on us the day before the last hearing, these guys have had months to give us these documents we requested. Years.
Well,
I mean, 2 years, actually, we've been requesting all this. So just to get it the day before accounting, when my whole motions are based and predicated on that. But listen, I agree with you. If you understand that, let's move forward and get down to.
Yeah, let's see how we can. Everyone has the same idea. We need to make some progress.
Okay.
There's a lot of work to cover. Okay. So let me go to your accountings and I'm going
to turn the page. I disagree with the timing of Mr. Greenfield's
statement. Okay. All right. Well, we got it. Okay. So we're still on the. Let's make sure that we're on page 2, the general objections to final accounting.
Correct.
The first 5 were overruled, and now. I'm going to read the first parts of the words so we all know what we're talking about. It says object that there is not legally executed trust documents attached for the trust. Is that number 6?
Correct, sir.
Okay, so we're on the same page. All right.
Okay.
You're up.
Okay, and you'll recall after the last accounting I happened to run into you at the other hearing for the estate, and you had asked me on 6 before we could finish if I had the statute that says that trust needed to be executed with signature pages because the one we're dealing with in the other 5, Danny Bernstein, his trust is missing signature pages.
What Bernstein did you say?
Daniel.
Daniel, okay, Charles.
Correct.
Okay, hold on.
And so we all acknowledged that there was no signature pages, and I said that the trust, according to the accounting rules, needs to be shown to the party first, the beneficiary, and a trust copy given you. And then I gave you the codes that say that if you don't have a signed, executed trust document by the grantor, then the trust is null and void. And I gave you those statutes. I can read them to you now if you'd like. Okay. Under Chapter 736.
Okay, yes. You would say 736 point something.
0105.
Okay, hold on.
And then 736.0403.
Let's see what 01. Okay, 736.0105 is called the default and mandatory rules. Which one of these do you want me to?
You know, the 2A1. And then I gave you.
736.0105 and the.
And then 736.0403 plays into that.
0105.
Oh, okay.
You're saying 2A.
And I.
2AI.
And both of them.
2A and I over
here. Yeah, okay. I think under Code 3.
Trust created in other jurisdictions, formality required for revocable trusts. What's in the statute?
And then that falls into, I believe, 689.05. But I was looking at B, is highlighted in the other one, the 736.04.03.
Which says the testamentary aspects of plenary debt.
Correct, sir.
So your position is that as to Daniel's trust, it is a revocable trust, that it was to be executed by the settlor, who is
Simon,
in the same manner as Simon would execute a will.
Correct.
And it says that's as to testamentary aspects of it, which means provisions that deal with the disposition of the property and the trust on or after the death of the settlor. Does that fall within, is this a trust that falls within that parameter?
Are you asking me, Your Honor?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear Your Honor's statement.
Sure. 736.0403 has a provision of the formalities required for revocable trust. As to the testamentary aspects of a trust, it says that trusts have to be executed the same way as a will, paraphrasing, and that testamentary aspect means the provisions in the trust that dispose of the trust property after the death of the settlor.
A few things, Your Honor. First of all, on the face of the document, this is an irrevocable trust, not a revocable trust. If you look at the face of the
document. Right, that was the first thing I was going to say. So the document that I have, which is Exhibit 4, Mr. Bernstein?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Says the Daniel Bernstein irrevocable trust. And this rule applies to revocable trust.
Well, and there's other evidence that shows that the trust they're operating under is the Simon Bernstein UA Trust on the benefit of Daniel Bernstein. That's in their own production.
Your Honor, out of respect for Your Honor's time, I'm hoping to refresh Your Honor's memory that we came down this road before we've already covered this objection. If Your Honor looks at Exhibit Number 2, which is in evidence, these are your 2010 orders appointing Oppenheim Trust Company of Delaware as trustee of these trusts. Those 2010 orders are res judicata as to any and all issues concerning the validity of these trusts. That any issues the Bernsteins had as to the validity of these trusts should have been raised in the 2010 proceeding appointing Oppenheimer Trust Company as trustee. So again, we discussed this at the last hearing, hoping that refreshes your memory.
I'm going to say July 8, 2010.
Yeah, let me, correct. Your Honor, refresh your memory.
Like, hold on.
Sorry. Let me, both of you, stop. Could you show me, could you refer to order? Let me read it. I'd like to do that. That order also refers to these trusts. I assume they're the same for each child.
There's three orders in that.
Right.
In
the three orders, one for each, as irrevocable trusts.
And there are problems with those documents that we discussed at the last hearing. First of all, they were prepared by Robert Spolina, who was never in my counsel.
Here's the thing. Let's do this,
right,
though, in baby steps, because we're never going to achieve anything if we keep on leaping to other subjects. Okay, so your first position was, and that was okay, you asked me to look at the statute, which I did, and the statute talks about formality requirements of revocable trusts, and these appear to be irrevocable trusts.
Okay, we'll look for the other stuff.
Okay, so let's go back to the objection, number 6. Okay, so I'm going to let you now, first of all, raise your right hand. We have number 2 diligent amendment.
Yes, sir.
Okay, all right, so what's your objection on number... I've read number 6, let me just read the whole thing again. look at each one of the statutes that you cite. All those statutes talk about duties of the trustee with respect to a trust. And you say this and other problems with the accountants violate those. So the main part of the objection number six is that it says they're not legally executed trust documents attached for the trust to the final accounting.
This would fall kind of under 7036-08-100, record keeping, to not have fully executed documents. By the way, Your Honor, when the Spallina brought you those documents, he did not attach trust documents. We checked the court's files. And
well, hold on, so that when he brought
that change of trusteeship he's relying on.
That order that you're referring to.
Correct. Okay. There's no trust documents. You went through that, you looked at your computer, you found that there were no trust documents given to you, even though you were changing a trustee of that trust.
Well, the order wouldn't have required that. The order
no, but he's saying that you're proven
that attached to each of those orders is an acceptance by Oppenheimer. I mean, they accepted the appointment as trustee. That's just the appointment.
Right.
And then...
No, but he said you approved those documents and now they're res judicata or some other nonsense because you ruled on them somehow. Correct?
Well, okay, I'm looking at these orders. These orders appoint Oppenheimer.
Correct.
So what makes that res judicata to accounting objections?
Res judicata, well, this is not an accounting objection. He's not objecting to the accounting. He's saying that there is no trust, that there are no trust documents. So there
so go back to the point about whether there's a, with respect to the accounting,
right.
Again, that we have to focus in on.
Mm-hmm.
That you say here there is not a legally executed trust document for the trust that are referred to in final accounting.
Right, and all I was saying was he was trying to tell you that on the day you made him trustee, you somehow affirmed those documents as valid, and that now they're valid.
I don't think I did that on those with those 2009 orders. I didn't rule on validity of anything then. I just appointed you folks, correct?
Well, Your Honor, I would say race judicata borrowers acknowledge litigation of any claims that were actually litigated, but any of those that could have been litigated. So if Mr. and Mr. Bernstein filed a petition to appoint Oppenheimer Trust Company as a successor trustee of three trusts, if they had issues with those trusts at the time, they needed to raise those at the time before Oppenheimer was appointed and acted for 4 years.
And we talked about that, Your Honor, and you said...
If I may finish. With regard to what this is, which is a proceeding on the trust accounting, what governs trust accounting is 736.08135, and there's no requirement, 736.08135, and I have an extra copy of Your Honor. Okay, for a copy of the trust to be attached to the trust account.
Okay, that's what I was going to try. I thought that's what you were getting at in your objection.
I'm just objecting that he doesn't say that you made that. Now, he's saying that I didn't respond timely. As you know, I positioned to the court that those documents were tendered to the court by Spallina and Tesher, who have a pattern and practice of tendering fraudulent
documents.
Okay, all
right, but here's the thing. This objection,
right.
I mean, no, my part of my job is to read the objection and make sense to what you're objecting. I thought the way you, what the objection meant was, when the accounting that Oppenheimer did was transmitted,
right,
took place, that they did not attach to the accounting fully executed trust documents of the purported trust. Is that what the objection is?
In part. Not with the attachment in 2010. No, I'm just saying that all the way to today, they
This is attached to the final accounting.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
The final accounting wasn't done in 2010. It was done way after. So.
No, I get that. But what I'm saying is that the document that was presented still today, we do not have fully executed trust documents.
What document is the accounting we're talking about?
No, the trust. Because under trust accounting, under 736-08135, yep, number 2A, they must identify the trust. It's got to be a legal binding trust that somebody signed.
Well, okay, so the accounting clearly identifies by name the trust to which the accounting refers. It does. I mean, it says it right in there. And that's not objected to. I thought the question was, and I'm going to rule on this.
Okay, got
it. I want Mr. Lessie, you have a right to be heard on this. Is there a legal requirement that, with respect to the accountings for the three trusts, that there be legally, what's called legally executed trust documents attached to the final accounting?
Okay. It's Oppenheimer's position that there is no such legal requirement.
Okay. So where do we have, this is a narrow issue. So tell me, where is the requirement that when a trustee, they're appointed trustee, your request, where when they file the accounting, they have to submit, along with the accounting, fully executed trust documents?
I'm not ruling on
any other aspect.
Okay. I don't know that rule for irrevocable trust yet, but I will look. I'm sure they're the same as revocable.
I don't see them, but I, you know.
Well, most contracts by common law need to have signature pages of somebody.
Okay, but the question is, is this an issue that comes up in the accounting, or is it an issue that you may raise in some other venue, which it sounds like you want to do?
So the question is,
I've got to get past this accounting, or else we're going to be doing accounting stuff and to interfere and all the other things we have to get done.
Is that the same type of
objection? It looks like it.
No, there's a little bit of difference.
All right, go ahead. I'll let you
the trustee, as you'll recall on page one of the trust, is a person named Tracy Kradish, who's a lawyer and accountant. And she's listed as the trustee in page one of that trust that he presented. And then on page two, Tracy becomes a person named Stephen Greenwald, who's also another lawyer.
You're not talking about the accounting now, you're talking about the trust.
I'm sorry. Yeah, no, seven. It's not confused with each other. You know who the trustee actually is. We don't know who the trustee was, and if this is even clear. And all the pages are missing initials by minor children who were supposed to initial.
So I have here the three accountants. You're not referring to the accountants themselves now. You're referring to the trust documents?
Well, right, because under this hearing is accounting, right? And part of that is...
The objections arise...
Well, here's one.
...from these three
right,
accountants.
I got it. And under the trust rules of accounting, 736-08135, the trustee becomes, who's accountable, and so I'm trying to determine.
Trustee became accountable when I entered that order that we just saw in 2010.
But had you looked at the trust, you wouldn't have been able to do that, because the trustee language is clearly not what you did. But that's okay. We can leave that. I put that all in my counter complaint if you'd like to deal with it there.
I think I follow you.
Okay.
But, I have an order that says that on the request of the two of you, I appointed Oppenheimer, and that 2010 order did nothing more or less than just that. It didn't
do
anything else. It's on its face. Okay, seven overrule for me.
Okay.
All right, number eight. What does that mean?
Well, Okay, part of the accounting rules that we understand is that, A, upon your transferring trusteeship, the trustee is supposed to secure the prior accounting from the other resigning, or in this case, withdrawn by federal authorities, because it was Stanford Ponzi scheme that was involved in this prior to those people going to Oppenheimer. But they failed in their fiduciary duty to get any prior accountings. So the trust, which was...
So you mean from starting point, you don't... How do you know the starting point of the...
You got it.
Okay, what about that?
Your Honor, number one, we're only required to account under 736.08135 from the date on which the trustee became accountable.
Which is what date?
The date we accepted is July 30, 2010. That's part of the exhibit.
Okay. All right, you agree that's the date.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know. I'm questioning those documents as fraudulent, but okay.
No, that's the day I entered the order, and then shortly thereafter, I have it here.
Okay.
I mean, this is not a question document. It's an acceptance by them, notarized. I signed the order on July 8th, 10th, and they signed this on July 30th. That doesn't seem to be one of the documents you can question. It's Oppenheimer's acceptance of the order that I need. We enter an order, but we can't force people to serve. We do this with...
Okay, but that's not the point. Okay. The point is that, imagine this, Your Honor, what he's just claimed to you, that I'm only responsible for today.
But
so
he said,
I'm only responsible from the point I start to account.
He's saying that they have to account starting on July 30, 2010.
That's correct, and I agree. He shouldn't go back and do Stanford's work or Tracy Pradish or whoever. That's obvious.
Okay, so.
But listen to what this would set up, for example. I am trustee of a $50 million trust. The day before I turn it over to Candace, I pull out $49,999,000, and she gets a dollar, and she starts accounting. At that point, she gets it, and she fails her fiduciary duty to get from the other trustee who was withdrawn by federal authorities on accounting that's required.
Okay,
the reason it's required.
Let me restate this.
Okay.
Your position is that when Oppenheimer accepted the appointment and started the process of being able to account as of July 30, 2010, that they had a duty to find, discover, or something similar to that, prior accountings of their predecessor, and or determine something about the quality or lack of quality of prior accountings?
Because the law says, the statute says that upon the withdrawal of a trustee, that he has X days to file a new accounting with the new trustee. Because otherwise we lose continuation. Nobody will know. Well, I don't know.
So let me ask this. This will help me out. Let me just look.
There's been no waivers of accountings by any party.
Let me look at something and I'll tell you my questions. Does the accounting from Oppenheimer has July 30, 2010 as a starting date, correct?
Correct, Your Honor.
So the accounting includes a statement of assets on account. Is that true?
Yes, Your Honor. If you look at both the accountings and the backup documentation listed in Exhibit 1 that's introduced into evidence, it shows the assets received from the prior trustee.
Okay, so hold on. So I'm looking at the accounting. Just take Jake's, because they're all the same. Or maybe not, but let's use that as an example. Where do I see in the accounting a statement of the starting balances?
On page one, Your Honor, there's a summary page.
Yeah, I see that.
And then there's a page one, top right corner of page one.
Okay.
That begins the receipts of principal. So if you look.
I understand. That's receipts. So this says cash on hand. Is that starting principal?
That's actual cash that we receive. Some assets in cash, some assets in kind.
And these are the rest of the things, meaning this is what you received from the prior trustee?
Yes. If you look at the date, September 20, 2010, this is the date that we received the initial transfer of everything from the prior trustee. So we are counting for what
day.
All right. What day was that on?
September 20, 2010.
Here, go back to that. Yeah, go back on the tape, put a pen on that one.
Okay, so page one and page two would be those items.
Correct.
That's the day he sent?
So we are accounting for the assets that we received from the fire trust.
Okay, so that's on those two pages. Do you see the two pages we're talking about? Take a look at, do you have those trusts in front of you? You need those. And which one do you have? Use Jake's, that's what I have. Okay, you have Jake's? The first page is a summary page?
Correct.
Go to the next two pages.
Okay.
It's called receipts of principal.
Right.
Those are the starting receipts. They just didn't say, here's an amount. They actually broke down, no, they broke down what those are.
But they didn't give us an accounting of how that number, meaning if Candace walked, if I walked off with the money and gave her $1, of course she's gonna account from $1.
But here's the question.
Yes.
Does, if a predecessor fiduciary turns over to the successor fiduciary these documents, that's what they say we got them.
Right.
You say, well, how do we know that the day before, 2 days before, 3 days before, they didn't stick their hand physically or rhetorically in the cookie jar and pull out assets, had them go somewhere else, and so it's not in this set of 9/30/2010 reports.
And further stating that, that when you made them trustee, they had an obligation under law to get the former trustees accounting that is due to them of the past.
All right, so let's take these, there's two issues there.
Okay.
One, we'll take the second one first.
Okay.
Does the prior trustee, when they resign or get replaced, have a duty to file a final account?
Yeah, under
you know the answer to that, right?
736.0813. D, on an irrevocable trust this time. I think it says at the end of D, and on termination of the trust or change of the trustee, which would require a formal account, of course, because otherwise.
All right, so
right.
It says a trustee of an irrevocable trust shall provide a trust accounting from the date of the last accounting, or if none, from the date on which the trustee becomes accountable to each qualified beneficiary, at least annually, and on termination of the trust. So, the trust wasn't terminated, but there was a change, then on change of trustee, there was a change of trustee. Okay, so this is some fact question. Was there, who was the prior trustee?
The prior trustee was Stanford Trust Company. One of the Stanford companies.
Okay, so Stanford, it doesn't matter who, for purpose of my question, was the prior trustee.
Correct, Your Honor.
Did Oppenheimer get a 736.0813 accounting upon change of trustee?
If I may, Your Honor, the answer is no, because Stanford didn't resign. Stanford was deemed resigned by United States Court of Order.
But there is a change of trustee.
Okay. If I may approach, Your Honor, this is one of the orders we'd asked Your Honor to take judicial notice of in the last proceeding. This is an order entered
by the I remember the Stanford was.
Right.
So as Mr. Bernstein has described
it,
I think.
If I may just sort of give you a little chronology here. Stanford was, as Mr. Bernstein keeps representing, involved in some sort of Ponzi scheme, some sort of wrongful conduct. By that order, which was dated April 23, 2009, which is about 15 months prior to Oppenheimer taking over, Stanford was deemed resigned.
Right.
Whether or not Mr. Bernstein was a party to or tried to become a party to those receivership proceedings and ask for all these documents, I don't know the answer to that question. All I know is, certainly the Bernstein.
Okay, well, there was a change. They're deemed, is the word, deemed to have been resigned or removed.
Correct.
So, this folks, just, you got a lot on your mind, but my questions are very narrow, and it'll help me get past this point. Do either of you know if Stanford, having been forced off, which I think is clearly the case, filed any sort of final or accounting from the date that they were removed in April of 2009?
Not to our knowledge, John.
Did you have any knowledge that they did?
No, sir.
Okay. Are we assuming, I think you are, that they did not? Is that true?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm pretty sure you haven't seen that.
At this time, correct, yes, sir.
So I thought your position is, going back to your objection, that when Oppenheimer prepares this accounting, with starting date of July 30, 2010, that they had a duty to secure from its predecessor the final accounting that the statute you referred to says that Stanford was required to prepare.
Said way better than I could.
Okay, all right. Well, that's why I started rewording these things.
That was perfect.
So my next question then is, they didn't do it. Stanford didn't do it.
Right.
So,
and they didn't request it.
Is there a provision in the law that a successor trustee, when they take over a trust, has a requirement to secure from a prior trustee the accounting? And if they didn't do it, is there anything that a trustee has an obligation to do to make that predecessor trustee do an accounting that they don't want to do or they're not doing? In this case, Stanford got removed, so I'm assuming they just didn't do it. So that's how I take the legal basis of Mr. Bernstein's objection, that they should have done it. I can only hold their feet to the fire on that if there's a legal duty that they do that. So where do I find that duty?
Well, they're the new fiduciary, so they would be turned over the statutorily required accounting that proves that the money they're saying on that line item is the right amount.
Well, no, they don't say that. An accounting is not a right. An accounting is not, is, this is what we got when we started the accounting. And so the question, and I think I understand it, is you didn't get a prior accounting. We all know that.
Right.
And so how does Oppenheimer know when they prepare pages 1 and 2 of the receipts of principal, which is the starting inventory when they took over, how do they know that that's accurate if they don't have the prior accounting?
Correct, sir.
Okay, all right. And so they say, we don't know because one reason, we never got a prior accounting and Stanford didn't do it. And under the circumstances, I don't think anyone really would even trust that they would ever give one, but they didn't do one. So they don't have, if you're out there, an ability to secure a prior accounting. It doesn't exist. So if there isn't one, what's their duty?
Well, first of all, they do have they're the trustee. So now when a former trustee failed to account, they should have gone back to Stanford, especially because it's Stanford. Look, if it was coming from the Rockefeller Bank, okay, maybe we could agree that not going back.
Go back and do what?
Okay. Well, they have duties under accounting to record keep, to maintain the records, to show, obviously, you've got to be able to show people this is what the accounting history of this thing is when I accept it. He's got to sign off on the Stanford accounting.
Well, it says here, the accounting,
and prepare,
no, see, that's the whole thing. There I disagree. The last statement is not the law.
Okay.
A successor trustee or successor fiduciary doesn't, quote, sign off, end quote, on the accuracy of the predecessor's accounting. That doesn't happen by law.
So it happens with the PR of the estate, but not
the
trustee?
No, they don't ever say the successor fiduciary doesn't certify that the prior accounting is appropriate, because that's not their job to do that in any of these fiduciary situations.
Oh, well, Ben Brown is doing that, and Brian O'Connell. Right,
yeah,
now,
no, they don't certify that. They receive it now, but in this case, they didn't get, and there's objections. Now, here's the whole thing. So let me turn the ball a little bit in your court. Your children, because it's their trust, didn't get accountings when Stanford was removed in April of 2009. So the one argument would be, well, knowing that you asked that Oppenheimer be appointed and a year later they would get on board, between April of 2009 and July of 2010, what did you do as, through your children, to try to secure from Stanford these accountings that properly pointed out the rule requires of them before Oppenheimer even got that appointment in July of 2010.
We had no idea this happened either. I mean, those documents you're saying...
This court order?
What?
The court order was signed in April of 2009.
And I'm saying it's based on documents that me and Candace have already talked to sheriff's departments that it's another fraudulent document by Spleen and Tesher, whoever.
It's not this court order?
What it's based on. The
no,
document.
No, no, no. Here's what I'm getting at. You don't understand.
Oh. We never got the court order. We never got the documents that came to this court and said change trustee.
Well, Stanford got removed.
Right.
So the question, and so...
Oh, and by the way, Your Honor, one last thing about that. And it comes up in my objections here in a minute, if you want to wait. I can get to it then if you want.
All right, well, let's do that.
It's going to start all this
I'm
again.
I'm going to hold this one in debate okay. right now. Let's go to the next one. Objected, there are no prior accountings or documents during the inception of the trust. But here's the thing. Where is the duty of a successor trustee to make sure that a predecessor trustee complies with the rules on accountings? I don't see that in the rules.
Okay, you know, you don't see it. It just leaves open this huge gap that people can steal money from trusts, not account for it. The next guy responsible doesn't have to do anything, and so all the money's stolen, and you have no accounting of the inception of the trust forward.
It's not that, Mr. Bernstein.
Oh, sorry, I'm sorry.
Not that there's nothing that can be done. The question is, does the successor trustee have a legal duty to undertake that task of making sure that the, you know, is it their job when they accept the assignment to make sure that the prior, trustee has done what they're supposed to do with the final accounting? And I don't
yes,
see
sir,
it.
I got it.
Where is it?
Okay, 786-0810, record keeping.
Okay.
736 on the low one. And then I got another one after that. Two, actually. You want those?
Okay, I just read that one. Go ahead.
Okay, 736-084 and 736-0802.
0802
is
big, I know that one. What section in there
do you
want to look at?
That's
the statute of
loyalty.
Where's the sub on 0802?
Hold on, I'm looking. So if you go to the other ones for a second.
Okay. What was the other one you said, 0804?
Yeah.
That's prudent administration?
Correct.
Okay, I got that. What's 0802?
Yeah, we're on this one. Yeah, that one. No, I got that. Skip 736-082 for the moment.
Okay, all right. Because I don't
so
see.
So let's go to the other two.
The other ones don't.
It comes up later.
Okay.
Right. So that.
Okay, that one is overruled. That's overruled.
Well, can I ask a question? The trustee shall keep clear, distinct, and accurate records of the administration of trust.
When they're the trustee.
No, it doesn't say that.
Well, you can't. They don't keep records of someone else's trust administration. They don't have those.
Well, they're responsible to get those from them.
That's not true. Well, okay, so it could be true if the legislature said so. I don't see where the legislature requires that they get the record. They started this process by saying, here's what we received. You're saying that they had to require them to do a number of things. Get records of the prior handling of the trust and get the final accounting if there was one, and if not, in essence, take action to cause Stanford to create an accounting, and I don't see that the statute, and they're looking at there, I don't see where they have that.
Okay, if you don't have it, then you are all right.
Let's go on. Your Honor, if I may, just because we skipped over number eight, and I'm.
No, I overruled number eight.
Number eight, you said you were going to hold an abeyance, and I'm concerned that we're not.
Well, the change of accounting, no, you have to do, well, if this was directed to Stanford, number eight would be sustained.
But this is not.
It's not, that's the whole thing, that one is appropriate.
Well, I never had a chance to check to Stanford, because I didn't know this is going on.
Because they were removed by the federal judge, so.
Okay.
Is that one, oh, I got that one, that, you are correct, but the statute you showed me, which is the white one, Mr. Bernstein, says, and that's directed to Stanford, that they should have when they were terminated. They were supposed to do a final accounting.
And give it to who, Your Honor?
Well, they actually give it to the beneficiaries. They give it to the.
Not to the trustee.
No, they don't have.
Okay.
No, okay. All right. Let's go to the.
I'm sorry. So eight is overruled?
Yes.
Okay. Your Honor, if I just may, I appreciate and I applaud Your Honor's patience. As we'll go through this, you'll see that there are categories of objections that these can be separated into. One of the categories, because we're going to get through this 2.5 hours if we reiterate the same thing. One of the categories is Mr. Bernstein keeps complaining that the predecessor trustee Stanford may have done this, may have done that, didn't supply
a
final accounting.
Well, we get to a category, and I can dispose of the items in there in a block sense. We'll deal with that.
Let's by the way, Your Honor, I want to make one point very clear.
Okay.
That the way it got to Oppenheimer, from our understanding now, is that the Stanford employees who are under federal investigation by Ralph Janvey, who I've entered into the counter complaint, moved to Oppenheimer with these trusts who were responsible for frauding a lot of West Palm Beach people, charities.
I wouldn't know that.
Well, he can tell you right here.
I cannot tell you that.
Oh, okay. Well, but
yeah,
he
no,
had
I,
a witness
I,
last
no
time.
See, I mean, I'm looking
okay.
here. I take a much more simple
okay.
approach. I look at the order. And
oh, just that
I
said that it was.
This is a petition. Let's remember one thing. This is really important. Who asked by petition to have Oppenheimer appointed as successor?
Robert Spolino. No, I didn't, Your Honor.
Well,
that document is as fraudulent as can be.
So I'm here the order. It says petition to appoint successor trustee filed by Elliott and Gambus.
Yeah, that's completely wrong. By the way, why
so
would we be filing that?
Okay, so they signed that as purported representation of you, was that it?
They never were retained by me ever.
You didn't sign that plea?
I never signed it, saw it till later. Right. I'm telling you, it's part of these fraudulent documents that are all under suspects. You know, we've already caught them frauding two sets of documents.
Okay, all right. Well, you know, on the surface, it appears that it was filed by you, but, you know, you were the representative party for the lawyer who filed the document. I got that.
Okay, do you have the. Okay, no, I won't
okay,
get
right.
We'll get to it later.
Let's
in the power complaint.
Okay, next objection.
Good.
Okay, number 10. Let me look at that. What does this one mean, Mr. Bernstein, number 10? Tell me what that means.
It means that...
Because you're saying a complaint, and I don't know what you
okay.
have that in front of me, so I'm not sure what you're getting at. Tell me.
The trust, these trusts that Jake, Danny, and et cetera,
yeah.
those don't match the statements the monies were withdrawn from and information we have from Stanford, where those funds are held by the Simon Bernstein Irrevocable Trust UA9706. Now that sure doesn't look like the name on this trust, and here is Oppenheimer. Is this the Oppenheimer something? Oh, that's on the appointment. Right. And on the appointment you signed. Oh, where's the other one? Oh, under this Bernstein Family Realty, which is under the trust, Janet Craig, and I can give this to you. Says Oppenheimer Trust Company is trustee of the Simon Bernstein Trust for the benefit of Josh, Jake, and Dan, which is, on a lot of documents that they produced, called something other than these trusts. And we're claiming that there's a lot of switching of trust going on with my kids' trust to hide a lot of money that was supposed to go into these trusts, and all of a sudden replaced.
Slow down.
Yes, sir.
Well, a little bit quickly.
Okay.
Okay, so what you seem to be telling me, and I just repeat this to make sure I got it, is There's another trust in addition to these three trusts that are in evidence for which the accounting was done. One of those trusts is called the Simon Bernstein Irrevocable Trust under UA 9706. Is there such a trust?
Your Honor, these are the three trusts.
No, no. Do you know if there is a Simon Bernstein Irrevocable Trust UA 9706?
Well, I can tell you this is what I do. There were at least 10 trusts prepared on this date, one for each of Simon
Bernstein's 9706.
One for each of Simon Bernstein's 10 grandchildren.
Is he testifying for his client?
No,
is that okay?
He's just answering my question.
Okay.
I'm telling you what I
personally do. Okay. So here's my question. You're saying that there may be 10 Simon Bernstein Irrevocable Trusts of 9706 for each of the 10 grandchildren?
There were.
Okay, all right. So, all right, now, okay, Elliot, here's the thing. I'm trying to understand what number 10 means.
Okay, so, I got it.
Tell it to me again.
Okay.
Because I'm not understanding.
In Janet Craig's own words on this notarized document of hers, here.
I don't know what that is.
Okay. It's the appointment and acceptance of successor, but this is a document that's not in evidence.
I may put it in evidence. Tell me what.
It relates to the trust, the Children's Trust, Oppenheimer Trust Company, as trustee of the Simon Bernstein Trust for the benefit of Jacob and Daniel and Danny.
Okay, let me see. One for his children. Bernstein Family Realty Appointment and Acceptance of Successor Manager.
The last therefore. And these trusts hold Bernstein Family Realty in them. That's one of the assets that we have.
Yeah, I saw that in the accounting.
Okay, good.
Okay, so in the accounting it says here that
it's also
among the assets is a one each child has a one-third interest in Bernstein Family Realty LLC, for which there's two more interests. Okay. And it's identified as having $360,000 value, of which a third with each child. Is that right?
Yes, I can say each trust owns one-third of Bernstein Family Realty.
Okay, so this says Oppenheimer as trustee of Simon Bernstein Trust.
Here you go, where's that trust?
Okay, but why am I
in the accounts, the accounts are named, actually, Simon Bernstein Trust UA blah, not this Jake Bernstein Irrevocable Trust dated that doesn't have signature pages and is just a copy document.
Okay, let's see if
this is
a copy document. I'm required that you spell FACACTA in the order.
You know what that means? Can't just be excused for a minute there?
Sure.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Anyone who takes a break gets a roll. Okay, so. Okay. I mean, here's what I'm saying. There was a trust called the Simon Bernstein Trust. Oppenheimer is trustee of that, maybe so, when he's documented. And the beneficiaries of the Simon Bernstein Trust are Jacob, Joshua, and Daniel. And they vote for and elect Oppenheimer as manager for Bernstein Family Realty LLC. Okay, so whatever that means, what does it have to do with this accounting?
Well, these accounts that our monies are being withdrawn for go from
being... No, they're not being withdrawn. These are... Okay.
So no, the accounts they're saying they account for.
The accounts are receipt accounts. Remember, these are...
The accounts are taking money out of the box.
No,
that they put an accounting down for.
No. I think you're maybe I'm saying this wrong.
Okay.
Pages 1 and 2.
Yeah, I am too.
Okay. So this is what this says.
Right.
I as trustee receive Vanguard units, you know, shares of MBS, yeah, and other things like that.
Right,
so,
right.
So these are financial documents, evidence, assets, like a stock certificate.
That's right.
They're saying we get those stock certificates, and those stock certificates are placed into each of these three trusts.
Okay, no, but the problem is with the accounting where they took money out of the accounts.
Afterwards.
When they were doing
that. That's afterwards.
Yeah, what they, oh yeah, so, all
right.
When they were accounting.
Yeah.
Is from a different named account than this.
Than the
Jacob Bernstein irrevocable
right, so
trust.
Where do I see that here?
Objection to your saying.
No, where do I see it in the
Oh, go to their accounting.
Yes, I'm getting it.
Oh,
so
where are
the accounting?
Yeah. Do you have your Stanford statements and stuff and your
I have the irrevocable trust and I have the accounting for each one of them.
And do you have the account the statements from Oppenheimer or whatever that show the different names?
What I'm saying is that the transactions that were accounted for are transactions for assets that are not in these trusts.
For different trusts. Right.
That could make a difference if that was so. Go ahead, where do I see that?
Hold on. Do you have your accounts?
What accounts?
The accounts that you took the money out of over the months that you're accounting for.
They're in evidence.
Okay, so do you have a copy that I can take a quick look at? I'll keep the thing here somewhere.
Well, I just gave him the book containing all the exhibits we produced in evidence. It's right in that book I gave to you.
Oh.
It's exhibits.
Are these ones previous or your order documents?
These are in evidence. The accountings are composite exhibit 4.
Okay.
No, the statements that they're based on. The monthly statements.
The statements are contained within exhibit 1.
Okay, that's a big book. Yeah.
And there are three statements, one for each trust, beginning on Oppenheimer 11.
What number is that under?
110.
I don't have a 1.
This is exhibit 1. These are the documents that I produced to you on...
That's a lot bigger than the one you gave me.
Counsel,
okay.
You know that base stamp 11?
This is exhibit 1. This is document base stamp Oppenheimer 011 is the...
Okay, so no, I have your...
No, I don't. He said he gave it to me in the book. It's not here.
Okay. Well, so this
my
says,
book doesn't...
Okay, all right, so hold on. I'm looking at this one. Okay, so I have 011...
It says Simon Bernstein Irrevocable Trust 2A on the top.
And then it says FBO Daniel Bernstein.
Okay, yeah, well, that isn't the name of this trust.
What's the difference?
Well, one is Jake Bernstein Irrevocable Trust dated whatever. The difference in means. What are you talking about?
Well,
this is
so
formal...
I don't know why you were talking
about. Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay, because I'm trying to follow you, and the argument with each other makes it harder for me to follow. Okay, so I think I understand that's scary, but let me see what I got.
It's a lot more than scary. We elect
Your Honor,
it's illegal.
It's the same exact trust.
Okay, well, all right, slow down. This accounting has...
Are you looking at 1-1?
Yeah, I'm clear enough. The accounting.
Okay.
The accounting says Jake, all three kids, Jake Bernstein, irrevocable trust dated September 7, 2006.
Right.
And inside it says for the Jake Bernstein Irrevocable Trust dated September 7, 2006. So the date is not here. Okay, so now, the statement from...
Well, so I did several trusts that day.
From the state on the statement, which is for account number, there's no record where I can say it, but it looks like 21-00-09180 and then 03. It's in April 2014, and it's the account of Simon Bernstein, Irrevocable Trust, UA9706, FBO, for benefit of Daniel Bernstein, Oppenheimer Trust Company, a Delaware successor trustee. So,
same date, same beneficiary.
My dad did a lot of trusts that day, Your Honor.
All right, hold on.
And especially with my family. He did several trusts. And why would you rename it?
Okay, so here's my question.
Where's the
hold on. question. The accountants call these Jake and the other, what's his two children again?
Jake, Daniel, and Joshua.
Joshua, okay. Jake, Daniel, and Joshua Irrevocable Trust. Is that the actual name of the trust?
The actual name of the trust is, and you have these in evidence, Your Honor, the trusts are in evidence as Exhibits 6, 7, 8.
All right, hold on, can we get there?
Okay.
Oh, that's even a different name, I think.
Hold on, let's see. Hold on. Okay, so that's called Trust Agreement for Daniel Bernstein, Irrevocable Trust. Trust Agreement for Jake Bernstein, Irrevocable Trust. Trust Agreement for Joshua Bernstein, Irrevocable Trust.
Correct, sir.
All right, those are all dated September 7th. So the bank statement, I call it bank statement, the brokerage statement, this is a brokerage account.
Correct.
Right. Okay. This says Simon Bernstein, Irrevocable Trust, UA9706, FBO Daniel Bernstein. Are you saying that statement is for the Exhibit 6 trust? That's the same thing as the name on the accounting?
That's correct, Your Honor. And again,
tell me how I know that.
Okay. Well, first of all, I have a witness here who will attest to it, that these are the only three trusts that Oppenheimer was trustee of. In your order, if you look at your order, let's see how you refer to it. But it is not uncommon, Your Honor.
Well, no, finish it. In my order, and then you drop off the end. So,
motion to appoint successor trustee as minor as sole beneficiary to Joshua Z. Bernstein Irrevocable Trust. So you have Joshua Z. Bernstein, Irrevocable.
That's under his name.
So that's what your order says, okay? When Oppenheimer opened the account was, they referred to it as the settler's name, the date, and who was for the benefit of. So this is the Daniel Bernstein Irrevocable Trust, dated September 7th, 2006.
Well, September 7th, 2006.
Right.
That's not an issue.
Settled by Simon Bernstein. To our knowledge, and again, I have a witness here.
I have to call the witness. Go ahead. I want to see if I do.
Okay. Happy to proffer the evidence, but he will testify. These are the only three trusts that they were administering for the benefit of Joshua.
So here's my question. Is the position of Oppenheimer that Exhibit 4, which are the three accountings, whatever is on the cover page, says what it says, Jake, Daniel, and Joshua Bernstein Irrevocable Trust dated September 7, 2006. It says that true?
Yes.
Okay. The order, the trust themselves say trust agreement for the Daniel Bernstein Irrevocable Trust, Joshua, and the other child, Jacob. Okay, so let me look at that. That's the same. Okay. The agreement's name match the heading on the account.
No, they don't.
Yeah.
One is the Simon Bernstein Trust UFO.
The agreements. The name on the agreements match the name on the accounts.
Except they don't match the name on the account. Right. Okay.
No. All right. So that works. Now, when Oppenheimer sets up the bank account, or the brokerage account, they put the name of the account, the Simon Bernstein Irrevocable Trust, UA 9706, FBO, Daniel, FBO, Joshua, FBO, Jake.
Correct.
Okay. So the objection is to the accountant, we'll go back, this is this, that there's not a matching of that. Okay, so starting point, Mr. Lessie, putting aside whether this is an AKA or not, is there a matching of the name on the accounting with the name on the account? The answer to that is obvious.
I have a witness who will testify.
No, that's not what I'm asking. Is there a matching of the name?
To me, it's semantics, Your Honor.
Well, okay, but semantics might matter, and we've got to take this in small steps. So let's get past the obvious first. Are you taking a position that the name on the accounting
is the same as the name on the account.
Yes, I'm taking that position.
Okay.
For all intents and purposes.
So then if you take that position, I sustain your objection.
Okay.
Because your position is unfounded from my point of view, because the plain reading of that is the name is clearly different. You may have an explanation for that. It could be an alias name. It may not be material. You may have an explanation for it, but the name is not the same name.
Okay. Well, then I will call a witness to establish that.
All right, call your witness.
You want to call him right now?
Okay.
In order?
Okay.
The
objection is kind of very narrow, but that's how objections go.
Okay.
Mr. Bernstein's objection on line number 10 is the name on the accounting doesn't match the accounts. It matches the agreements, but it doesn't match the accounts. So to make sure that we're talking about one and the same, which is what the purpose of this is, we need to match up this account at Oppenheimer with the accounting. It's probably not hard to do, but you have to do it. Since you said it was the same, you forced me to sustain your objection because you were stubborn on that.
Okay.
So give my words, you were stubborn on that.
I understand, Your Honor. My question to you as far as a logistical matter, do you want me to call my witness for each objection and
no,
send
because
them
because I may not need
or...
other entry ones. So you keep the witness in here. I don't mind that. Your witness can stay.
Can we ask who the witness is, or is it
surprise? Yeah, it's a surprise that they walk in here and find out who they're asking for.
Who's the witness?
His name is Hunt Worth. He's the president, chief executive officer of Oppenheimer Trust Company,
okay.
Delaware.
All right. This is a real, look, this is a simple issue. Okay. We're just trying to see if these two names are one and the same. Here's what I want to make sure, Mr. Rustin, that somewhere else at Oppenheimer, there's not an account called Jacob Bernstein Irrevocable Trust dated September 7, 2006, some other account. Okay, so that's what I want to rule out, because that's what the accounting is calling it.
I understand your point.
Okay, it's pretty simple, but let's you get that in family law cases where you have people with multiple names or they have a little different
and by
names.
The way, Your Honor, one of the key points in this is that the duty to maintain accurate records. When you see as a trustee, I mean, I would assume...
Mr. Bernstein,
okay. Yes, sir.
There's material, nothing and no one is perfect.
No, I get that. I'm not making that point. My point is when you see a mistake like this, which I pointed out to them 2 years ago...
Okay, I got you. I understand what you're saying.
They should have done due diligence and been careful before withdrawing. Okay.
Raise your hand.
Can I
tell the truth, the whole truth, and the truth? Right, have a seat over there. Okay, real distinct, narrow issue. We're not going, so listen carefully to the questions and you can explain what we're trying to figure out.
Okay. So, please state your name for the record.
My name is Aaron Worth.
And who is your employer?
Oppenheimer Trust Company, Delaware.
What is your position?
I'm the president.
Does there need to be a record for this?
The same record as anything else. There's no court reporter for your testimony. The record is.
Okay, so we know my continuing.
You could have continuing fact that you don't have a reporter
on
there, but it's a civil proceeding and there's no.
Okay. I just wanted to know
reporter.
On the witness side.
Okay.
Okay. Go ahead. The witness. You may. Mr. Worth, I'll show you several exhibits. The first exhibit is introducing the evidence at exhibit 4, and it's 3 charts. The first one.
Here's the purpose of this, just use one for each.
Okay.
Not the four.
That's fine.
Because it's the same animal.
Can you read the name of that trust document?
Daniel Bernstein, Irrevocable Trust, dated September 7, 2006.
Okay. I'm showing you another document. This is the document that's been introduced in Exhibit 1. It's base stamp OPP011. Can you read the account name on that statement?
Simon Bernstein Irrevocable Trust under agreement dated September 7, 2006 for the benefit of Daniel Bernstein.
Is that a statement that produced and prepared by Oppenheimer?
Yes.
Is that statement relate to the trust that That's called the Daniel Bernstein Irrevocable Trust dated September 7, 2006.
Yes.
Does Oppenheimer have any other accounts related to Daniel Bernstein?
No.
So there's not one account for the Daniel Bernstein Irrevocable Trust dated September 7, 2006, and another account for the Simon Bernstein Irrevocable Trust UA9706 FDO Daniel Bernstein?
It is the same account.
Okay, trust Oppenheimer.
Okay,
question.
Okay, yeah, Mr. Worth, how are you?
Hi.
Nice to meet you.
You too.
We've spoken quite a bit through emails, extended email.
Objection, you're on, can get to the question.
And that's a trust document that I have received from you, correct, for Daniel?
This is not a trust document.
That's the account.
The one he showed you, the trust document.
He just showed you the account.
This is the accounting. This is not a trust document.
Oh, okay. And how, let me ask you a question. Have you seen the trust document?
I haven't.
Okay, and you're aware that on, for example, Daniel, there's no signature paper?
I don't recall.
Okay, and I've asked you for those several times.
Objection, Your Honor, outside the scope of directive.
I think it's outside the scope.
Can I bring the evidence up?
Mr. Bernstein.
Oh,
standing objection because it's outside the scope.
Okay.
Remember, you made a narrow objection, number 10.
I see what you're
saying. Focusing in on that.
You
can't drift off.
I got it. I was trying to establish.
I understand something.
Okay. Can you prove that? That they're the same?
Can I prove what?
That the trust document is the same as the statement. That the means are identical.
The counting up.
Right.
Objection calls for a legal conclusion.
Well, hold on. He answered yes.
You look at the tax ID.
Mr. Marcy, step back a little bit.
If you look at the tax ID, it's very simple.
Do you have those?
I don't have the tax IDs memorized, no, but I have the tax IDs.
So how can you make that statement here today?
It's the same account.
It's not the same name.
It's the same account. This is a titling thing, how they title
it. So what's the Simon Bernstein Irrevocable Trust dated, whatever it is? I don't have UA, whatever.
You're asked
to answer.
I've answered
you.
Stop.
Okay, yes, sir.
Here are the rules.
Okay.
Question was asked. Is there an objection to the question?
Yes, asked and answered.
Overruled. You can answer the question.
It's the same account. This account and this account are the same account.
Okay,
I go by Huntworth.
Right.
My professional, my email says Huntworth. My name is Theron Huntingworth. I'm the same person.
Okay, that's these.
Yes, I'm drawing
okay.
an analogy.
Okay.
It's the same account.
Okay, this account that it's opened under was opened with your trust company under the name Simon Bernstein Irrevocable Trust UA975. Are you saying that
you're
saying
FBO Daniel? Is FBO Daniel?
My blind. Sorry about that. Thank you. And so that says the same exact thing, correct?
No, he says it doesn't say the same thing. It means the same thing. He says that it clearly doesn't say the same thing. You know that.
Okay, so is your bank in the habit of opening trust accounts under the wrong names?
Objection, argumentative.
You have the trust.
Oh,
yes, sir.
Okay, that's argumentative.
What does that mean? Argument?
That means you're arguing with him when you say that. There's a way of styling your question that's not so argumentative. It's a legal basis.
Okay.
When you say, are you in the habit, that's
okay. Does Oppenheimer open trust accounts under the proper names of the trust? In this case, is that the case?
Yes.
The account?
You have to accept his answer as it is.
Okay. Is the account opened under the same name, identical, on the whatever this statement is, as that name right there?
This is
exactly identical.
Okay. Here's the question about a trick question. Is it the same wording?
It is not the same wording. This
okay.
is not an Oppenheimer Trust
question.
Company of Delaware document.
Okay. All right, I got it. Thanks. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
And
hold. Okay. No more questions. Is there no more questions, but I thought you did. Sorry, go ahead. Next question.
No.
On this objection,
when Oppenheimer finds a discrepancy in accounts with the name of a trust, are there corrective measures that would be taken if they were notified of that?
Objection calls for a hypothetical.
No, but I can.
This is not an account.
Okay.
This is an accounting.
Okay, that's the key to my answer. That's not,
this is not an Oppenheimer document.
Okay. Does Oppenheimer typically prepare accountings for accounts that are named something different than the trust account.
Don't know.
So what was your position again?
I'm the president.
You're the president. And so you don't know what to do. Your testimony here today.
What to do. But you asked him what to do. You asked him to know. But he doesn't know other matters. He doesn't know. That's okay.
We could have this page retitled and it would say the same thing. It's the same account.
So I got it.
Got it?
All right. Thanks.
Thank you, sir.
No other questions.
Thank you.
You can say maybe you don't think. Don't go. Don't correct me. Okay.
So maybe we pull up one of the chairs, Mr. Matt.
And we reserve the right to question. I don't want him in here.
Okay, all right. So you know what? Stay out. Stay outside. Come back in. Okay. And Your Honor, since this is an evidentiary hearing, I'm not sure these two ladies are, but if they are going to be witnesses, I'd like to know the rule.
Okay. Are you ladies witnesses?
Yeah.
Okay. And the rule that you're allowed to stay. Thanks. Okay. So, here's my rule. The objection is overruled, premised upon the testimony of the witness under oath that the account that Oppenheimer services as the Simon Bernstein Irrevocable Trust UA 9786 FBO, Daniel or Jake, three different ones, okay, are the only trusts for the children that they are trusted on, and that to the extent that Morrison Brown argues and are prepared an accounting for that account statement that I just mentioned, the accountant's name that they put on the cover as Daniel Bernstein, Irrevocable Trust, dated September 7th, 2006, is one and the same. And there are not others. Okay. That's my rule. Next number. 11. Let me read it. Okay. Number 11, an accounting objection, Mr. President?
Well,
remember, this is an accounting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because here's the problem. Okay. Tracy Kratish was alleged to be the original trustee of this trust. Tracy Kratish did not work at the companies for my father at all during that time it was alleged to be signed by
her. Let me ask you, number 11 says the following.
Yeah.
It has a bunch of names.
Yeah.
And then it stops. So I'm not sure what the look at number 11 in its entirety, and tell me what it says the objection is.
Well, basically what it's saying is that the record keeping of the accounting of the trusteeships is improper and wrong, and that the trust documents that were provided are conflicting and contrary to what actually occurred. That the original trustees of the Simon Bernstein Trust UAs, which they're claiming are these trusts, and supposedly these trusts, was Stanford. They opened these accounts with Stanford money, and here...
With trust money transferred to them from Stanford.
No.
No. That's
Stanford's the original trustee of these trusts.
Right. They took over from Stanford.
No.
No.
What, no.
Who was in between them and Stanford?
Tracy Kratish.
Is there someone in between?
And objection, hearsay, I have no knowledge.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, Tracy Kratish is in the documents, supposedly. As the original trustee.
Well, look, I entered, but here's the thing, Mr. Marshall.
Yes, sir.
It doesn't make sense, so let me tell you what I mean.
Okay.
So, I just had it here, and you've shown it to me before. The orders the three orders on each one, the orders are pointing, where were those at?
Exhibit 2, Your Honor.
Okay. I mean, Exhibit 2 doesn't identify who, if anyone, is a prior trustee. So say it on Exhibit 2, which is the order appointing them, Oppenheimer. Okay, so now tell me what your point is again.
Okay, the document that Spelina presented to you, giving you an order of trusteeship that you approved some order on. That we were never notified about.
This is the July 8, 2010 order.
Right.
It says, based upon your request, I have one of them.
Right. They give you a list of who the trustee was, et cetera.
No, I don't have.
Where's the, explain this thing.
I thought on the order, I don't know if it's on.
Oh, it's in the documents he gave you to make the order.
You mean it's in the petition?
Correct. We just.
Your Honor, again, this relates to a 2010 proceeding that's been closed.
Well, let me look at it. Maybe there's something that I can see from there. I'm trying to deal with the objection here, so let me give you a chance. Let me look back at that. Let me get the case number.
But that's wrong.
I'm trying to be respectful and not talk over anybody, but I just want to remind everyone involved, this is a proceeding related to the accounting during Oppenheimer's tenure.
I got it. I understand, but I'm still looking at something.
You know, may I grab a sip of water outside?
Yeah, absolutely. So let me look at the petition.
And I don't have a copy of.
Okay, I'm going to look at it right now. Just for my benefit, can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
This has nothing to do directly with the accounting.
Okay.
You said something I wanted to make sure in case this comes up in the future. The petition filed by Spolina is dated, it's filed July 7, 2010, but bears a date of June 18, 2010, signature date.
Okay. Good.
It purports to have a signature of you and Candace.
Correct.
Are you folks telling me you never signed that document?
No.
Okay, all right. And that doesn't have to do with this proceeding, but.
Correct.
Okay, all right.
Okay.
So, hold on, all right. Okay. So now I'm seeing this document. So what are you going to tell me again that you think it deals with your objection?
Okay, Tracy Kretis didn't work for my father on September 7, 2006 when the trust was dated. She's currently. I got a contact from the Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office that they're meeting with her to discuss all these aspects. She's a lawyer. She knows. Now, here's some other problems. Okay.
I have a real problem with it.
Right.
I don't understand what the objection to number 11 is that you wrote.
That the trustees for the account were not properly done, so they don't really have authority as trustees because this successorship, even if you approved it, was based on a false statement in this petition.
So the petition has a history. You're saying the history is inaccurate.
Correct.
Okay. So, but based upon the petition that purported to have your signature.
Right.
On the penalties of perjury.
Right.
It said, you and Candace request that Oppenheimer be appointed a successor trustee. It said Oppenheimer desired will agree. It says there's a vacancy that has to get filled and that the trust requires a corporate document. There's nothing about, I could look at this document 1,000 different ways. It would all say the same thing to me.
Why would you be asking Candace and Elliot, who aren't the trustees or anything, to be signing this petition? You have a successor of trustees. Why would Elliot and Candace have anything to do with
this? This was done as parents and natural guardians of the child.
But so all, they're not the trustees.
There is no trustee.
There are trustees.
According to this, there was no trustee. All the trustees have, they said the truth, all the trust, there is no, it said Tracy was resigned, Stanford was appointed, Stanford was terminated. There's now no longer a trustee. The trust requires a trustee. It has to get filled, et cetera. And it says it has to get filled by a corporate trustee. And you, as natural parents of the children, desires to have Oppenheimer become the trustee.
Okay.
What it says.
So.
Okay, so, but right. I'm not understanding now the objection
okay.
to you in this, too. Oppenheimer now gets the assignment by court order, and they start an accounting.
Okay, here's the problem. They get that court order based on this document.
So based upon the order.
Based on, right, on this document, your ruling.
But Oppenheimer,
right.
nor does anyone, reads anything into the order. The order is the order. That's
but the order was based on this petition.
It could have been based on a lot of things, but let's assume it is. But Oppenheimer's not responsible for that. This is a pleading.
Right.
I signed the order. Oppenheimer accepts, and now they're on board.
Okay, so... Now, if they accept that trusteeship, part of my duty and maintenance of record keeping under accounting is that when you get a trust that doesn't have signature pages, for example, you have a duty to go back to the last trustee and say, hey, we need a fully executed document. Okay,
that's
under record keeping and maintenance and keeping, you know, obviously we're having a trust, take money out of a trust account that's named different. And we have a trust document.
I've already ruled that it, just like people can have more than one nickname and be the same person, this is an AKA. These names are AKAs.
Okay, here's the problem. If you look at the trust document, on page 2, Tracy Kradish isn't the trustee.
Okay, which she's not.
Stephen Greenwald is.
Okay, fine.
So on the same document, on page 1, Tracy is the trustee.
I remember you talking about that.
Okay. And then it says for a successor,
yeah.
Larry Bishens is the successor.
Okay.
So why would you come to Elliot Brinson?
I have no idea, remember.
Nope, neither do I.
The petition got filed purportedly by you.
Right.
In 2010, I appointed, pursuant to that request, I entered an order, and then Oppenheimer accepted that, and they've been doing the work, and now they performed the accounting. I'm not sure directed to them. Others may have problems with that, they're not before me. What is it that Oppenheimer, from their accounting, is doing improperly?
Well, they failed to get full trust documents with the proper trustees listed in it. Once you made them appointed, they become trustee. Now they have fiduciary obligations
right.
to show the beneficiaries, hey, we got a legal trust document. Hey, we've
well,
got...
You're not telling me that, but I don't see where that's... Where the.
Well, that's under the duty to keep records. Of the administration.
Go back to accounting. The things that Mr. Bernstein, I'm going to summarize this way. So follow this, though. This will help you get through this.
Okay.
There are things, Candace, please, let me listen.
Yeah.
There are things that one can complain about a trustee under 736. But not everything falls under the accounting scope. Accountings are one separate aspect of what, and that's all I'm dealing with here. So I want to get through this because if there is, for example, a violation under the trust code of Oppenheimer, dealing with some aspect of how they perform, not all potential violations are accounting violations.
Okay.
That's what I'm getting at. So
okay.
Number 11, here's right. the number 11, really, here's my ruling on 11. I'm not sustaining or overruling it because I'm finding it doesn't state an objection. Yeah, these have to be strictly construed.
Gotcha.
I mean, you know, read it. Doesn't say
no, I see your point.
Okay, just list sure. names and says great. Okay, there
okay.
we go. All right. Next number. Object that there are no signed trust tax returns attached for any of the years from the trust inception to present, providing for it in the final accounting. Okay, so the final accounting refers to trust tax returns or not?
The final accounting does refer to trust tax returns, and because a lot of Mr. Bernstein's objections were complaining about lack of backup documentation, we went ahead and produced all the backup documentation we had related to this, and I have a cross-reference chart of the other plate. But
well, okay, are there trust tax returns
that match the reference in the accounting to the tax returns?
Yes, Your Honor. Number one, 736.08135 does not require it to be attached to the trust accounting.
I'm not saying the attached can have the accounting refers to tax returns. Mm-hmm. It does. So are there tax returns?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, Mr. Bernstein, his objections say that so your match report is attached. So I don't know that you have to attach to the accounting the tax returns. Matter of fact, I'm pretty sure you don't, because you generally don't attach. Those are backup. That's part of the backup.
That's what we requested, backup. Okay.
Technically, he says, but I'm not going to hold it to the technicality there. So if the accounting relied upon returns, are there signed returns?
Yes, Your Honor, there are signed returns.
Okay, we're showing Mr. Burns.
Okay, well, he's been producing these documents. This is contained within. May I approach? This is a demonstrative exhibit I just gave this to Mr. Bernstein. What this is these are the three trust accountings,
yep.
And they're cross-referenced with the date stamp numbers for documents we produced.
Okay.
They're backup.
All right, so where do I find
this? And these were just given to us, Your Honor. These were the ones I was going to object to at this point, because we were slammed with these on top of the 1,800 other pages that we planned on reviewing until May 19th. And we haven't looked at any of these documents, but we did notice one thing. That only two tax returns are signed by Janet Craig, and the rest of them aren't.
Well, you have three potential returns, one for each child, right?
No. It's like five you put in there or something.
Oh, it'd be three, one for each trust.
Oh, no, but he has several years.
Yeah.
And okay. So in two of the years they're signed, and the other three are unsigned tax returns that he should have, again, through duty and care to prepare an accounting, gone and got these things.
Why?
Why?
Hold up. These are Mr. Lesley. Oppenheimer prepared the tax returns. I mean, he will cause an accountant to verify them.
The tax returns were prepared, I believe, by CBIZ. There are accounting entries that show that we paid CBIZ, which is an accounting firm, fees to prepare the accounting.
All right.
So I would have to go through the backup documentation, but I can tell you this. There are backup. The reason that Mr. Bernstein has been producing all these documents is because he's complaining about each and every entry. So what we did in the first batch of documents we produced is we produced every document, every stitch of document we have related to disbursement. Then we found out he's also complaining about lack of documentation with regard to the tax returns we received. So we went ahead and produced the second batch of documents relating to the tax returns we received. We've gone over and above.
If I may finish,
Ron, I have the courage to not interrupt Mr. Bernstein.
Sorry, excuse me.
That's true.
Sorry.
We produced now about 2,000 pages of documents. We produced them not the day before. We produced 3 weeks before the first order, and now 12 days ago, a second batch of documents.
Okay, those documents that refer to the signed tax returns are in the stack.
It's either in that stack or the next stack we produce.
Okay, right. So listen carefully. On this objection, I'm going to give you X days. You'll tell me how much time you need to send a transmittal to Mr. Bernstein that identifies, and I'll call these the base stamps. Is that what that is?
We just gave it to him.
Oh, yeah, no, you're not listening to me. Okay. That identifies, you gave him 1,800 pages. I want you to tell him what numbers match up to the sign tag.
Okay, Your Honor, in the document I just gave you,
yeah.
It shows the exact date stamp.
Well, where it shows me, I can't.
Okay, the problem is we're just in the general objection. Once we get to the tax return sections, which I have to find,
but
it will show.
Just find the tax return things, and then maybe I'll deal with the more specific ones quicker. I want to get through this, folks.
I understand, Your Honor, and again, we're dealing with general objection. Once we get to the line item entries, we have
right.
The
well,
tell
you what, every I'll line defer item. On this until we get to the line items.
Fine.
Then I'll
know. That's
okay.
Great.
Now, next objection. So the 12 I'm coming back to is that we need to deal with this. Yeah. Or objected there are no legal fee or fiduciary fee backup data from the service to bring the budget account. All right, what does that mean?
Well, they referenced legal fees. They paid Robert Spallina after they knew I was in conflict with them, and they say they retained them. I don't have a retainer. I don't have any billing that shows any breakdown of what this guy does.
Give me an example. I have a trust here. Show me what line item you're referring to. Yeah, show.
No, and they're accounting.
Yeah, I have your accounting.
That's what you're looking at?
Yeah, give me up. I have
okay.
Jake's.
Okay, Candace is going to get it. Hold on.
All right. Yeah. Wait, who do you have? Which child do you have, Candace?
I have Jake.
Okay, all right. So what page are you looking
at? On page 25.
Page 25 of the accounting?
Of the accounting.
right, so it has down the line.
And then also on page 26, there's.
Okay, hold on, 25, two-thirds of the way down, it says legal fees, Trip Scott.
Yep.
And then it has legal fees, kind of pressure and, pressure and Spolinga. And then it says, next page, find the legal fees for Mark Mancieri. That, those are, that's it?
That's also pressure and Spolinga's attorney.
Okay, all right, so it comes with the objections then?
So, Your Honor, they had months to give us this, well, after they produced their thing, got my motion. I don't know if they submitted it in.
What, did he count it?
No, there's backup we requested, so they knew our objections. They wait till the day before the hearing to slam us with.
Yesterday, or the day before last.
The day before last, and then 12 days before this hearing, to slam us with a 2,000 pages that's gonna take me forensic accountants, who I have a list of, going through this stuff, and identifying the, I mean, already just going through it, they're already.
Let me ask you this, in the accounting, let's take the, go to page 25, okay?
Yes.
The Trip Scott bill.
Yeah.
Okay, so this says, they, I mean, they're doing this accounting for a period of 2010 to May of 2014.
Correct.
So now, they have on their books that they paid $130 for each child.
Right.
March 3rd, 1178, and on July 11th, 2013, 430.
No check.
And the Bernstein Family Trust Realty, I mean, attributable to the Bernstein Family Realty LLC, paid to Trip Scott. So they have accounted now for the fact that they paid, this in the area of distributions, okay? They said, we have distributed those monies and those three checks to each child.
And I'm just asking for the checks, the backups, the agreements that they signed with the attorneys, all things that I'm required under a generally accepted accounting principle.
Let me see what's required there. Let me look at the accounting rule.
Well, I don't know, but the accounting rule basically says you have to provide the documents necessary.
Let me look to see what it says.
Oh, you're looking, okay, good.
Okay, so if they paid, the trust paid a Trip Scott bill, okay?
Right.
They would, I mean, you know, there'd be a check to show that they paid it. I don't think that's a, that's not the issue.
Yeah, we don't have it. I can't, I asked them for backup to this. They have to provide
you
it.
You want to verify content. That they actually paid the bills.
Right, and that there's, this was all done properly.
What about that?
Your Honor, if you look at the cross-reference chart that I just gave you,
okay.
Cross-reference to this page 382, 381 to 385.
Where are we looking?
In Exhibit 1, the base staff documents. The administrative page I just gave you, which is the accounting that's cross-referenced to the base, the backup documents.
Okay, I have here Exhibit 1. Okay, where are we going to look?
Okay, I just handed you a document where it's the accounting with the backup documents.
Yes,
this on the right.
For Daniel, I have one for Daniel.
Okay, yes, so let's look at the one for Daniel.
Okay.
So if you look at the page 25 of the accounting, where it has...
Okay, hold on, let me get there. Now I see.
Where it has the legal...
Oh, okay, there you go.
Okay, so you see next to
381
the
to 385 for the first bill, 384 to 351 for the second, 183 to 186.
Correct, so that should, that's a check stub. It's the requisition form. It's the legal bill.
Okay.
So all the backups are there.
All right.
Okay, well, when I wrote this motion, Your Honor, and all the way till the day before the letting out,
okay.
They
when
dumped
did,
up, and I need more time to now remodify and look at what they dumped on me, and I told you I was going to do that after I finished the summary judgment. That would have given me some time. Actually, I was going to ask you for an extension because of Judge Blakey's ruling.
Okay, let me ask this. The documents that are in that stack, okay,
right.
Or ones that are, I don't have those, right?
You do, Your Honor. This is Exhibit 1 in evidence.
Oh, that's Exhibit 1. Okay,
yes.
So let me look.
Just enter today.
381, hold on.
Right.
I'm trying to get an example here. Folks, don't take it easy for me.
You're trying your best.
Okay, I know, but that's... everyone has a history of interrupting me. It's a little hard. Okay, so I see here... there's a legal bill, which comes up, disbursement, right, this is one.
Do you have an extra one of those calculators?
This?
Yeah.
I don't think there's an extra one. We produced these and we brought the last hearing and we copied them.
So, I mean, it's in here, I see it.
Yeah. Okay, well, Your Honor, I haven't. And the thing is, I need time to analyze these documents because it was dumped on me. I asked him for all this. After I submitted my motion, before I submitted my motion, I've been asking for this stuff for 2 years to get these in pieces of information. I asked him for checks.
Why was this given Exhibit 1?
Today. It's not true. Your Honor, let me approve. Yeah. This is our notice of production that was e-filed with the court with documents produced on March 10th, 40 days ago. So these misrepresentations
what,
that we produced.
This is March 10th?
This was produced 3 weeks before the first hearing.
Wait, which
40
one?
40 days ago today. These
oh, now he's talking about two separate things. The first one, he said he's produced 3 weeks before the hearing.
That's
this
book, Exhibit 1.
Oh, that big one. Not,
yeah.
Not the second set. Okay.
No, that just has the reference.
That we got the day before the hearing. That book.
That's not, we March 10th. The hearing was March 31st.
Yeah.
21 days before the hearing.
Is it 21 days before the hearing is when they sent those people?
That's not true.
And that's our notice.
We'll bring that FedEx. How'd
you send it to them?
What, we sent it to them by email. We sent it by large transfer delivery. Then they said they were having difficulties, which we found, well, suspect. Then we offered to let them come to our office to pick it up, or to be sent it by FedEx. We went up sending it by FedEx.
What day did that get there?
Hang on. March 13th, we will send it by FedEx at your request for Monday delivery on March 13th. And again, I have all the
court... What's Monday's delivery?
Your Honor,
deliver
if I can show you the court, because you know, I'm not rarely painted in this kind of light. And,
no, no, you have okay. Missed this isn't personal, this is the business of the accounting director. I'm sorry, you don't know it.
Well, they're
mischaracterized, no, sir. Not
I have the email correspondence related to this production,
okay.
If Your Honor would like to see it.
I don't need to see that. So when did you get with? You sent it on what date?
Well, we sent it on March 10th.
Okay. And when did you send the FedEx truck?
We have a FedEx delivery.
Yeah.
It was delivered on March 16th. The hearing was March 31st, so that's 15 days. And we tried to send it to him 6 days
ago.
You
got an FX receipt of the 16th.
Was it a March 17th she's saying the hearing?
Not related to this?
Wasn't it?
I'll look back.
Well, we know. Okay, well, even if it's a week or two.
So 2 weeks before.
To look at 1,800 pages of new stuff jumped on you for a hearing in a week when I had all those other hearings with you that week? This is crazy. I need time. I asked you for that last time, and you said I could reserve that time. Then we pushed it out till May 19th so I could have the time to respond to Federal Judge Blakey. And then all of a sudden, this switched on me to today over 4 days to look at 2,000 some odd pages.
He's now have it for at least 30 to 40 days, Your Honor.
They're yeah, but I didn't have a hearing plan, so I wasn't planning on reviewing it until I got done with the summary judgment, which is 800 pages that I have to respond to.
Okay.
So I'm not lying to you. I'm just telling you what it is.
So here's the thing. Let me look here at the picture.
I mean, I'd like a little time to extend this so that I can look at these 2,000 pages.
All right, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'll listen to me. Number 13. Okay, because... 13. I'm looking at the backup data. I see it. I'm seeing it now. Okay.
No.
You might want to look at it if you're freaking me. You're allowed to do that. Okay. I see the bill. I see the request. It matches what they paid. Matches the bill. But you know, I'm looking at it the way I look at a lot of documents. All right. So
I'm gonna overrule the objection unless within X days, and I'll tell you how much time, you send a notice that there's a bona fide claim, bona fide, Bernstein, that the backup data, okay, does not accurately reflect the bills that were paid.
Okay, great.
In other words, that the backup documents are fraudulent?
Well, or they're not accurate.
Right, and I've got one of those right now, if you want it.
But they're not accurate. If a lawyer sends a bill for $2,000 and they're paid $3,000, that could be a concern for accounting.
Right, but you have in front of you showing that the amount's...
Well, I looked at it, he says he hasn't looked at it.
Well, Your Honor, that's going to be the same objection for about every single entry, since they didn't provide backup till the day before. And they had this motion for months.
So let's go through this quickly and then we'll see how I'm going to handle this.
Talk about wasting time. They have this filing I filed since January 22nd, 2015 to provide documents.
Let's move on. Number 14. Objection. What are you getting at in 14?
Same thing you've already probably gone on.
Yes, just think. That overruled it. Let's see. Okay. All right. 15 is a nice slogan, but I need to hear which of the general accounting principles this accounting violated.
Well, the trust code says, and generally accept the accounting principles state, that it has to be understandable to the beneficiary, the accountings for the trust. Without 5-6 years of prior...
What generally accepted accounting principle is violating the general...
The general... The GAAP.
First of all, I disagree with the premise that trust accountings are required to be under GAAP, because 736.01-35 controls not GAAP. Right. Secondly, Mr. Bernstein is not qualified...
I agree. Usually you would have an accountant tell me that.
So this objection should be overruled on space, because GAAP is not applicable.
How do you...
Well, then I'll ask you, Your Honor, and you're the judge, so you can make that call.
Oh, thanks.
You're welcome.
Here you go. So. Okay, this is not a GAAP. I mean, I knew that already, but I'm just looking. I would like to double check. It's not a GAAP document.
Oh.
Okay, objection overruled. Okay, next one.
Okay,
no. Next one is 16, 17, you already did that. Overruled.
Wait, did we do duty to inform an account that they have?
They filed, where is their, what statutory part of that statute do you have to file?
I'm going to trust that you're sure about
that. Yeah, okay. Okay, all right, so here's the thing. We're going to go to specific objections next.
Okay.
We have to take a rush for break. All right, 5 minutes.
Thank you.
I don't know how you stay awake through these things. A lot of coffee, huh?
No,
not really. Oh my God, really?
Natural energy.
That's amazing that you have the stamina. Does the stuff interest you?
You've heard it all by now.
Do you have to use the restroom? Oh,
things just getting started.